If modern politicians are good at anything, it's about politicizing everything, making you feel like every decision, every thought, has some far-reaching consequence and reflects your principles. With the assassination we all witnessed a few days ago, be prepared for politicians to ramp up the division. Political ambitions and power grabs are the name of the game, and tragedies are the best way to exploit them. As Rahm Emanuel once said,
"You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before."
And that's where the Epstein files come into play. The fight to release them has been met with many obstacles, including the top guy in charge, President Trump. He branded the whole Epstein controversy a hoax and called those who want the files released his former supporters. The assassination is violent and atrocious, but as Rahm Emanuel said, those in power will not let this crisis go to waste. I can't think of better cover. They're already blaming all Democrats and liberals for the shooting. Since the hoax label didn't stick, and then branding his base as former supporters didn't work, this is the next best thing for them to use to deflect from the Epstein files. Now let's turn our eyes onto what happened the day of the assassination. Media reported that Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer ambushed Senate Majority Leader John Thune and the rest of Senate Republican leadership. Listen to Senator Schumer describe what he did.
"Just a few minutes ago, I filed an amendment that would require the Attorney General to release all the Epstein files, and Republicans are going to have to vote on it. We're going to keep fighting until these files are fully released."
It was reported that Schumer jumped in front of the line by offering his Epstein-related proposal. Now, this was posted less than an hour before Kirk was shot, and despite the pandelirium among conservatives after the shooting and the finger-pointing, Republicans managed to show up and block the amendment. Now, Trump will tell you it's all a hoax and that a client list doesn't exist. This is despite his own attorney general saying otherwise just months ago. Bondi also claimed in a secretly recorded video that there were tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child. Now let's turn our attention to Trump's little deflector, Speaker Mike Johnson. He tried to make people think that Trump might have been an informant for the FBI regarding Epstein, and that's why the documents can't be released, that he would be implicated as an informant. He quickly started backpedaling that insane claim for obvious reasons, but let's ask ourselves why he might try to aid Trump in an Epstein cover-up. According to Financial Disclosure, Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't have a savings or checking account dating back to 2016, nor are there any accounts for his wife or children. Rules dictate that if there is less than $1,000 and a combined value of all accounts within a family are less than $5,000, those accounts don't need to be reported. He also doesn't have any investments or assets as of his 2022 filing. Given that this man raked in a household income of $200,000 before coming into Congress, but somehow he has no investments, no assets, and no bank accounts, seems a little fishy. Brett Kappel, a government ethics expert at Harman Curran, told the Daily Beast it would be, quote, very unusual for a member not to have to disclose at least one bank account. Jordan Leibowitz, a communications director for watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, says that if Johnson truly doesn't have any assets, that we should consider that quite alarming. Leibowitz says, quote, it's strange to see Speaker Johnson disclose no assets. He made over $200,000 last year, and his wife took home salary from two employers as well. So why isn't there a bank account or any form of savings listed? Leibowitz also highlights that Speaker Johnson is deep in debt, saying, quote, he owes hundreds of thousands of dollars between a mortgage, personal loan, and home equity line of credit. So where did that money go? If he truly has no bank account and no assets, it raises questions about his personal financial well-being. This weird situation of debt and no assets or bank accounts seems to place Speaker Johnson in a financially precarious and suspicious position. Is he lying on his disclosures, or does he really not have anything? Either way, it makes him vulnerable to be controlled. Is this why Speaker Johnson seems to be so defensive over President Trump? Is this how they're getting him to attack another member of their own party, Representative Thomas Massie, and block the passage of his bill to release the Epstein files? Is it because he's so strapped for cash that he has no choice but to do what those in charge tell him to do? So let's recap. We have a president refusing to release documents he promised to release while campaigning. We have an attorney general who has admitted the client list exists, but then backpedaled. We have a speaker of the House in a strange financial position who is running interference for the president, even disparaging a representative from his own party to prevent those files from getting released. And on the day that Kirk was assassinated, the Senate was ambushed with an opportunity to disclose those documents. It failed, but you probably never even heard about it because of the assassination. No one knows the full story of what happened to Charlie Kirk, but I can guarantee you one thing. It will be used, politicized, and taken advantage of fully as cover for Trump and any other Republican. So how can you stop this from happening? Well, you should support Representative Massey's discharge petition, which would force a floor vote on his legislation. To succeed, Massey needs 218 signatures. If all Democrats signed the petition, which most are expected to, only 6 Republicans would need to add their names. So far, only 4 have agreed to do so. That's Representative Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert. The assassination of Kirk is going to be used by the GOP for their gain, no matter how disgusting it is to do so. We already see them blaming Democrats and liberals for him getting killed. Given that Republicans are the ones dragging their feet and that the president's approval rating has taken a nosedive for his handling of the Epstein files, we know what we're in for. They've been given the best distraction they can get, a conservative martyr. If you believe in free speech, if you believe in limited government, if you believe in holding the rich and powerful accountable, if you believe in transparency, then don't let them cover up Epstein with Kirk's assassination. Again, let's heed the advice of Rahm Emanuel.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.